This remote hearing of the Capital Investment Committee for January 19th is called to order. This remote hearing is taking place in accordance to House Rule 10.01 and is being live streamed by the House Public Information Office. As a custom, all committee discussion and questions will go through the chair to request recognition, or if you have questions during their presentation, please use the raise hand feature. Mm-hmm. If you're having any trouble with this, please email the CA, Ms. Jenny Nash, or the CLA, Mr. Joel Lincheski, and type recognize in the subject line. If for some reason you do not get recognized using this approach, please unmute and seek recognition. When you are done speaking, please stay muted. With that, Mr. Lincheski, please take the role.
Members, you may unmute yourself when your name is called. Representative Fu Lee.
Lee, present.
Representative Fu Lee, present. Representative Mary Murphy.
Murphy, present.
Representative Mary Murphy, present. Representative Dean Erdahl.
Erdahl.
Representative Dean Erdahl, present. Representative Esther Abaje.
Abaje, present.
Representative Esther Abaje, present. Representative Kayla Berg.
Kayla Berg, present.
Representative Kayla Berg, present. Representative Greg Davids.
Davids, present.
Representative Greg Davids, present. Representative Keith Franke.
Franke, present.
Representative Keith Franke, present. Representative Mike Freiberg.
Freiberg, present.
Representative Mike Freiberg, present. Representative Rick Hansen.
Hansen, present.
Representative Rick Hansen, present. Representative John Hewitt.
Hewitt, present.
Representative John Hewitt, present. Representative Leon Lilly.
Lilly, present.
Representative Leon Lilly, present. Representative Eric Lucero. Representative Eric Lucero. Representative Rena Moran.
Present.
Representative Rena Moran, present. Representative Nels Pearson.
Pearson, present.
Representative Nels Pearson, present. Representative Donald Raleigh.
Raleigh, present.
Representative Donald Raleigh, present. Representative Jordan Rasmussen.
Present.
Representative Jordan Rasmussen, present. Representative Liz Ryer.
Ryer, present.
Representative Liz Ryer, present. Representative Nolan West.
Here.
Representative Nolan West, present. Representative Jay Zhang.
Jay Zhang, present.
Representative Jay Zhang, present. Representative Eric Lucero.
Good morning, everybody.
Representative Eric Lucero, present. Members, with the conclusion of the roll call, please mute all of your devices. A quorum is present.
Thank you, Mr. Lincheski. A quorum is present. Representative Murphy, I see that you're done sharing screen now.
Yes,
thank
sir,
you.
Chair.
Do you have a motion to approve the minutes, Representative Murphy?
I move that we approve the minutes for January 14th.
Okay, Representative Murphy moves approval of the minutes for January 14th. Any discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes for January 14th are approved. So now members will move to informational only presentations on modifications to projects that were enacted in the October 2020 bonding bill. Some of these are technical and some of these are a little bit more substantive. And so each presentation has been allotted up to 5 minutes. Some of them may take the full 5 minutes and some of the more technical one may only take a minute or two. And so just to let you know, we also have the on the agenda an overview from Mr. Andy Lee on the 2021 cancellation report. This may be moved to Thursday if necessary. And so first up, we have Minority Leader Representative Kurt Dowd to present on his proposed change. Representative Dowd.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate the opportunity. This is a technical fix to a project that was in the bill last year. This is for the interchange at the city of Zimmerman on Highway 169. As you know, in recent years, they used quarters of commerce dollars to fix all of the interchanges. So that will happen over the next 2 years on 169, with the exception of this one intersection. So after, I think, 2023, this will be the only intersection on 169 between Highway 94 and the Mille Lacs reservation that will not have a, or it'll be the only stoplight on that that stretch. So pretty important to get this one fixed. This was the design money, and I think Andrew from Sherbourne County, I think, is on the call as well to testify on what the technical details are.
Thank you, Representative Dowd. Andrew?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members, and Representative Dowd. I appreciate Representative Dowd providing a little bit of that background. I'll be brief in my comments this morning. First off, thank you, committee members, for the work that you've done, both present and past committee members. This is effectively a technical change, as mentioned, in order to work through some of the procedural items through MMB and allow us to utilize the funds in the fullest means possible in order to improve the intersection safety and mobility for both freight, recreation, and commuter vehicles in and along this corridor. The language simply needs to be switched around a little bit. I believe that proposed language is in front of you, and I will stand for any questions.
Members, any questions? Representative Murphy.
Is this new addition still GO bond eligible?
Mr. Witter?
Yes, Mr. Chair, committee members, Representative Murphy. Yes, it is still GO bond eligible. That's part of what we're working through with MMB, is to make sure that we get this language appropriate so that we can work through and get the funds released.
Has it been worked through?
Yes, we are working. Oh, Mr. Chair, committee members, Representative Murphy. Yes, we are currently working with MMB as we speak and have met with them a number of times in the last couple of weeks.
President Murphy.
Thank you.
All right, seeing no further questions, thank you, Representative Dowd. Thank you, Mr. Witter, for coming to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So next up, we have Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hansen, proceed with your representation.
Mr. Chair, this is for the city of Mendota. And what happened is, with the delay in the bonding bill being adopted, the city had to move forward with the connection with the St. Paul water system. So this is a technical change to allow them to complete the rest of the project. They've done the connection, but the completion of the project, they need the language for it to be bondable. So I'd ask for your support.
Any questions for Representative Hansen? All right, seeing none, thank you, Representative Hansen. Next up, we have Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a bill to change some language related to a bonding project approved last year. This is for the area near the Purpose Center in Golden Valley, near the intersection of Highway 55 and Douglas Drive. It would the language as it was passed allowed for construction of the project, which includes an underpass under Highway 55 to allow students from the Purpose Center to get across multiple lanes of a busy highway. The language would expand it to so that it doesn't say only construction, but also includes things like property acquisition and design. With me is the city engineer for the city of Golden Valley, Jeff Oliver. Also, I think I saw him on this call. He may have a thing or two to say, but we can be quick.
Thank you, Representative Freiber. Mr. Oliver.
Thank you, Chair Lee, members of the committee. Representative Freiberg summarized the project quite well, and it is the language you have in front of you has been approved by MMB. And we're thank you for your consideration.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Oliver, what does "and near the intersection of Highway 55 mean?
got some work on the frontage road, Chair Lee. We've got some work on the frontage road east of the actual intersection. We need to relocate the frontage road in order to line up with the mini roundabout to facilitate traffic flow.
And
Mayor Murphy.
And how much is near? Is that a quarter of a mile or 200 feet? Or is there some idea of, that you can give us of what near really means?
Mr. Oliver.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Lee. Representative Murphy, we're within probably 300 feet of the actual intersection.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you.
Members, further discussions on this? All right, thank you, Representative Freiberg. Thank you, Mr. Oliver. And next up, we have Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. This bill fixes some language in the bonding request for Vernon Center that was passed in last year's bill. It removes some of the language around refurbishing a water tower, which was already completed, and also changes some of the language around the stormwater system, allowing the just changes some of the technical language, so it'll mitigate some cost overruns by allowing some flexibility in how this is done. I have Mayor Ziegler on the Zoom call as well to answer questions, and appreciate your support.
Mayor Ziegler, do you have anything to add to Representative Munson?
Mr. Chair, Lee and host members, yeah, it's just a technical language change. With the PFA part of this bill is they want everything spelled out in the language, what we can use the money for. So that's basically what we're doing here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All right, questions. Thank you, Representative Munson, and thank you, Mayor Ziegler, for coming by the committee today. Next up, we have Representative McDonald.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a technical fix on the language for a South Haven in my district, City of South Haven Water Well Project. It was in last year's bonding bill, and we're bringing it forward again this year. So it's a technical fix. I'm going to have the city engineer working for South Haven, Mr. Brian Bullig from Bullig Engineer, to describe the small technical fix in the language.
Thank you, Representative McDonough. Mr. Bullig. Is Mr. Bullock on, Ms. Jenny Nash?
He is.
I am on now. I had on my mute.
Go ahead, Mr. Bullock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We want to just add some clarifying language to the bill to add not only the wells, but the well house water main in connection to improvements to the water tower. During investigative efforts, we had found a lot of bacterial slime in the distribution system, and to keep all the improvements that will be new fresh, we need to get as close to the tower as we can to do some intermediate disinfection until we can get phase two implemented that will include some other improvements.
Thank you, Mr. Bullock. Any members' question? Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McDonald, just quick question. Is this actually, it looks like different scope to me. And so I'm just curious if you anticipate that this funding amount is going to be sufficient or if you're anticipating having to make any other types of trade-offs or request other funds. Thank you.
Representative McDonald.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. That is a possibility. I will defer to the city engineer, Brian Bullig, to answer that question.
Mr. Bullig?
Yes, this is just some slight language change, I guess. The city didn't realize it had such a bacterial problem in its drinking water pipes. We are concerned, and so is Department of Health, that if we connect the wells directly into the distribution system, and turn on the disinfection, that some of this bacteria will slough off and start to plug people's fixtures in their homes. And so to help prevent that or minimize that, we want to not only drill the wells, but connect them all the way to the water tower such that we can do some periodic disinfection of the new facilities, but then turn that disinfection off so it doesn't adversely affect remaining distribution pipes.
Representative Ryer?
Thank you.
Representative Murphy?
No question.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions, members? Seeing none, thank you, Representative McDonough, and thank you, Mr. Bolick, for coming before the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and fellow members. Have a great day.
Next up, we have Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I am driving into the Capitol, so just to let you know that. Thank you for considering this on the Henderson project and also for the committee members.
Representative Gruenhagen, I see that you have a testifier at the mayor of Henderson, Mr. Paul Many, if you're here.
Yep, yeah, I'm here.
If Paul would like to address that.
Mr. Mayor, do you have any additional remarks on this project?
Yeah, no, I just want to express my thanks and gratitude to the committee for not only moving this along last year, but this technical fix here. And it really is, you know, Henderson, as you know, has flooded 8 out of the last 11 years. And so we know we need to raise the road and we need surgery, if you will. But the bill just says basically surgery or construction. And so what this is actually doing is just making sure that the funds which are within the scope and within the budget amount can be spent on things like the environmental analysis and design work that goes into raising the road above the floodplain. And so it's just really just a clarification. The amount that is in there does cover these costs. So it's just allowing the funds to be spent in that way.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members, any questions for Mr. Mayor or Representative Gruenhagen?
I do have a final comment, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Representative Gruenhagen. We don't have any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I just want to say I want to thank the governor at this point for coming out to Henderson, holding a news conference, and highlighting the very critical and serious problems in Henderson. You know, about 3-4 months a year, three ways of the four ways out of Henderson, roads out of Henderson, are flooded. So this is a critical issue for this community. It's a safety issue, housing values, you know, ambulance, school children being bused, extends over an hour of their trip with the flooding, and it seems like every year it's getting worse. So I want to thank the governor for coming out and highlighting that and helping this community.
Thank you, Representative Gruenhagen, and thank you, Mayor Many, for coming by before the committee today, and have a safe drive into St. Paul, Representative Gruenhagen. Next up, okay, we have Representative Kwan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a corrections bill for Highway 14 and County Road 104 interchange. Rochester is the third largest city. It's one of the largest or fastest growing parts of our state. And Highway 14 at this interchange has, last time I heard, around 30,000 or more people driving in and then out through this interchange area. We've had multiple deaths, including a former county commissioner who died of injuries from an accident on this interchange this past summer. This is mainly to correct, for example, the misspelling. There's two ways of spelling Olmsted, and then clarifying and correcting some of the other information.
Thank you, Representative Kwan. And I do see that you have the Director of Public Works here, too, if the director want to provide some comments.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Thank you. My name is Kate Beniak. I'm the Director of Public Works and County Engineer for Olmsted County. Representative Quam spoke well to our intersection. The language is some technical changes necessary for us to most efficiently and effectively use those funding. Olmsted County will be the lead agency for the project, and hence the change for indicating that it's a grant. All of our technical language and changes have been vetted by both MMB and our the county, as well as our state aid for local transportation at MnDOT. And with that, I would stand for any additional questions.
Thank you, Ms. Beniak. Members, do we have any questions? So I do have a quick question for Ms. Beniak. So this change will allow remaining funds to be poured towards the county's share of the next phase of the work that includes construction of the interchange. And so what is the anticipated timeline for that, and has MnDOT committed to that phase of the project?
Mr. Chair and committee members, the district here in Rochester for MnDOT has some funding available through some trunk highway bonds in a project development pot of dollars that was passed as well during that special session. They are working through that currently as far as how much each project will get. There's six projects in that pot. So once we determine that, we'll see just how far their dollars can go. And you're correct that anything not spent on our environmental analysis and preliminary design will then move towards the county share for right-of-way acquisition and construction. We are hopeful that MnDOT will have construction dollars available within the next couple of years, such that we could have a project underway by about 2023.
Thank you, Ms. Beniak. Members, any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Kwan, and thank you, Ms. Beniak, for coming before the committee.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Representative Keo.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you very much. Request is to add the word design to the site preparation floor and site preparation for what we call the Colburn property in Crookston to develop the ag innovation that was passed last year and funded through the Commissioner of Ag also. So we just needed to add the word design. And then I would point out that the city administrator is not with us today.
Thank you, Representative Keel. Any members' question? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Keel, for coming before the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Next up, we have Representative Moeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And like many of the presentations you heard before mine, this bill is also just a technical fix. Related to a water main that needs to be replaced in the city of Arden Hills. After the bill, the bonding bill passed, the Public Facilities Authority notified the city that the original language wasn't sufficient to capture the engineering design and easement acquisition. And so this bill just rectifies that to make sure that all those costs can be covered with the money that's already been allocated. And I don't have any testifiers. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Moeller. Members, any questions for Representative Moeller? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Moeller, for coming before the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next up, we have Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I appreciate the opportunity. The proposal I have in front of you is to address the situation that when the original request for Willardy was made, it was for a bonding project. The project that they needed to have done ended before the money was allocated from the state. And when that occurred, the city of Willardy had to take money from other capital projects to pay for the original project that the bonding money was for. So this is a request to reallocate to allow the city to address the other project, which is a maintenance building. And I have our mayor from Willardy, Barb Parent, here to make a very quick presentation on that.
Thank you, Representative Fisher. Mayor Parent.
Uh, Mayor Parent, I think, is muted right now.
Can staff help Mayor Parent unmute, please?
Sorry. Thank you, committee chair and committee members. As Representative Fisher said, we met in 2017 to talk about funding for to replace our maintenance building and other aging infrastructures. And shortly after that, we were informed by Washington County that they were going to redo County Road 12. That gave us an opportunity to put in a water and replace an aging water main and other items. Because the County Road 12 project ended before the bonding bill was passed, we would like to, and because we borrowed from general fund to pay for part of the County Road 12 project, we would like to, at this point, go back to what we originally needed, which is to replace our maintenance building. You have pictures before you and can see that we have holes in various places. We can't heat it anymore. We can't put water in it because the water mains break. And so we would request that you would allow us to use the bonding money at this point to tear down the old maintenance building and to replace it so our maintenance superintendent has a place to work that is safe and heated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Parent. Members, any questions? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Fisher, and thank you, Mayor Parent, for coming by to the committee.
You're welcome. Thank you, Chair Lee. Appreciate the opportunity.
Next up, we have Representative Haley.
She's being called onto the Zoom meeting.
Okay, so we can move on to the next one then. Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Chair. This is Representative Mueller from, and this bill that I'm presenting today is a technical fix for the bonding money that was procured during the last special session or a couple special sessions ago. And this is for the Austin Wastewater Treatment Plant, and it is money, it is language so that it can be used in an appropriate way, but also so that any balance of the funds could be utilized for the construction of the wastewater treatment plant facility in subsequent phases. I do have our city administrator, Mr. Craig Clark, here to give a couple of words. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mueller. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Chair Lee and committee members. We appreciate you advancing the funding for engineering and design of our expansion and phosphorus reduction project of $7.45 million. As several of you know, our plant largely was built in the 20s and 30s, and that's had a lot of aging infrastructure and maintenance issues that come along with it. We also have capacity issues with our major processor, and we've needed to take steps to make improvements to the plant with the design. Moving forward, as you know, we have to have design as part of the project to submit that to the MPCA. And with the adoption of the bonding bill late in the process, that really put us behind the eight ball as far as getting ready for submittal to the MPCA of our plans and design. So we're kind of in a catch-22, and as a result, we're asking for some of the $7.45 million to be any balance be eligible for construction of the future plant. It's really just a timing issue that we got caught into, and the language will allow us to carry forward those unused funds for our expected $78 million plant. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. We have a question from Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And when we visited the project previously, I asked a question about energy usage, and as you're including design and pre-design now, is the plant going to be having, how are you looking at energy? Is there going to be solar included? Is there, what are the conservation measures and what type of cost reductions are there? I know we talked about it when we visited, but it, you know, now that you're doing design and pre-design in addition to this, it would seem you could design in energy efficiency or renewable energy.
Yeah,
are there any plans for that?
Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen. Thank you for the question. We don't have solar as part of the project. The energy capture of the heat off the plant is something that we have done and looked at, and will adopt the most current technology as far as that's concerned.
Representative Hansen.
I think, there's a great opportunity to look at new things. Maybe you want to check with the Metropolitan Waste Control Commission that has included renewables in their waste disposal and reduce their cost for the ratepayers dramatically. So, and I'm talking about the wastewater ratepayers. So.
Right. Yeah, we know
Mr.
the.
Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen. Yes, we know the ratepayers in the city will be here for the long haul. So, if we can lower rates over the long term, that's something we definitely want to look at. Thank you,
Representative Hansen.
That's all I have for now.
Thank you, Representative Abaje.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Clark. You had mentioned unused funds towards the end of the project. How much do you anticipate those funds being at the end of that phase?
Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Chairman Lee, Representative. We're roughly about $1 million is what we estimate would be balance that has already been incurred that we would carry forward.
Representative Abaje.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, any additional questions? All right, seeing none, thank you, Representative Mueller and Mr. Clark for coming by before the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Next up, we have Representative, can staff let me know if Representative Haley is back on?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Representative Haley.
I can let you know when she's back on.
Oh, she's not on yet. Okay. Next up, it will be Representative Morrison then.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. This is a technical correction to a project that allocated bonding money to the city of Spring Park for water and sewer repairs and improvements. The correction is a technical one that defines a specific street to more precisely define the location of the project. And I do not have a testifier this morning.
Thank you, Representative Morrison. Members, do we have any questions? I see none. Thank you, Representative Morrison, for coming by before the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next up, we have Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a fix to the bonding bill from last year. It's for some of the surrounding local roads also need to be looked at. And this gives the city a little flexibility on that because they can't spend all the money that was allocated. I'll turn it over to Mr. John Hawkins, Blaine's Public Works Director, to really go into details. And we are in discussions with MMB on this.
Mr. Hawkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. This requested amendment will allow the team to utilize those funds to analyze the impacts of the local road intersections at 99th, 105th, 109th, and 117th. The planning and environmental linkages study that's been being conducted by MnDOT is actually a joint effort with the cities, the counties, and federal highways involved also. The technical advisory committee determined that the environmental review cannot look at just 109th, but has to look at the segment as a whole, not individually. The close proximity of those other intersections means they do influence what happens at 109th, and therefore it needs to be studied collectively. And we do have a joint statement from MnDOT and FHWA to that effect. The remaining funds would stay with the CASA 12 109th intersection for design as originally proposed. So it is really because of the nature of the project and direction from MnDOT FHWA that we are looking for this amendment.
Mr. Hawkins, before I move on to members' question, can you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, sir. My name is John Hawkins. I'm the Director of Public Works for the City of Blaine.
Thank you, Mr. Hawkins. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And there's some issues with this particular project, and there are some gray areas in the project where GO bonds are used to do projects that involve both local roads and trunk highways. MMB has raised some concerns about this, and I'd like to attempt to answer them a little bit. A law firm, when asked, stated that they couldn't offer an unqualified opinion on this topic. But the fact is that funding has been done in this manner before, GO bonds used for both the trunk highways and local roads. I'd like to give some examples to that. The city of Dayton, with an interchange on marked Interstate Highway 94, Brooklyn Park, Trunk Highway 169 and 101st Avenue Interchange Project, Chisago County, marked U.S. Highway 8 reconstruction, Hennepin County, State Aid Highway 9 at Rockford Road and marked Interstate Highway 494, Wadena, U.S. Highway 10 environmental cleanup. My point is that using GO bonds for projects involving trunk highways has been done in the past, and it was the intention of the legislature that it be done so this time. If a change is to be made, if MMB wants to change the rules here in the middle of the game, it should have happened during the process of putting a bonding bill together and not after it was passed. It simply is not fair to do it in this manner. And as this goes forward, if I need to, I'll raise those objections to some of the MMB comments further. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Erdog. Any additional questions, members? So seeing none, thank you, Representative West, and thank you, Mr. Hakas, for coming by before the committee.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Representative Haley.
Okay. Good morning. Madam Chair, would you like me to proceed?
Please proceed, Representative Haley.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair. There's just a small change that the City of Lake City wanted to ask for regarding their bonding provision from last session, and it's just adding the word engineer to their language. They have a breakwater project for Ahuda Park, and they were the engineering got left out of that language, and they were concerned that you know, the engineering costs for the design may not be included unless we make that one simple addition.
Thank you, Representative Haley. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Haley? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Haley, for coming before the committee.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right, members, so finally, I have a highly technical amendment. It identifies the proper living units at the St. Cloud Correctional Facility for the fire suppressions upgrade, and it strikes erroneous statutes for the Monoman water infrastructure projects and specifies the wastewater projects. And also, we have an amendment that corrects a revisor technical error for part of the Orinoco wastewater system. And with me today, I have Mr. Berg from the City of Monoman to present on their change. Mr. Berg.
Mr. Chair, thank you. My name is Mitchell Berg. I'm the city administrator for the city of Monoman. And last year when we received some bonding dollars, we received $1.9 million to replace water and sewer lines. When we got the award, we were notified by PFA that there was a reference to a statute that basically reference the PFA loan program, and as a result, MMB said that they could not release the funding to the city until that correction was made. So the city is asking for the technical amendment to remove that reference to the state statute, basically align it with all the other language that was approved with the other water and sewer projects that were in the previous bill. I yield for any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Members, do we have any questions for Mr. Berg or for the other two projects in the amendment or in the bill that I will be authoring? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Berg, for coming by to present. All right, members, so that wraps up the different bills and proposal that we have before the committee for today to consider. Next on the agenda, we'll turn it over to Mr. Lee for the presentation on the cancellation report. Mr. Lee.
Hello, Mr. Chair and members, Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. I'll be bringing up the cancellation report that you should have all received along with a the bond proceeds report and a summary spreadsheet that I just made. I'll be sharing my screen in just a second here. All right, so you should all be seeing the two-page spreadsheet that I had that summarizes the bond proceeds report, cancellation report, and also shows some estimates for when projects are authorized in a bonding bill, how long it typically takes for those bond proceeds to be let. So the first part of the spreadsheet at the top of the page shows the remaining amounts of previous bond authorizations by year. So in the first column, you can see the year that there's an authorization, then the total amount of the authorization, how much has been already issued, how much was issued in the 2020 bond sale that happened in August, and then how much is remaining. So I think probably the most useful thing to look at here is this chart where the blue bars with the hashed outline are the previously sold bond authorization for projects. So you can see that pretty much everything has been authorized going back to 2015. And then there's still some projects in principle remaining in 2017, 2018, 2019, and almost all of 2020. You'll notice that the red hashed lines are how much was in the 2020 bond sale that happened in August. And so you might be a little confused if you notice that in 2020, just a little bit of that authorization was already sold, even though the bonding bill occurred after the bond sale. And that's because in the regular session in 2020, there was a small amount of RFA user finance bonds that was authorized before the big bonding bill. So that part of the 2020 bond sale included that. But you can see that of the remaining authorizations, almost all 2020, a little bit of 2019, 2018, and 2017. And then moving on to some assumptions of this is what MMB assumes for how quickly bond proceeds will be authorized depending on the year and the type of the bonds. So in odd years, MMB assumes that it takes about 3 years for the bonding projects to need cash flow dollars with about 20% in the first year after the bonds have been authorized, after the legislature passes a bill. And then about half in the second year and the remaining about a fourth in the third year. In even years, the projects, I think MMB assumes, tend to be a little bit more complex and require initial stages like pre-design design. So even if the legislature authorizes, say, a $10 million building project, only small amounts of that are initially sold in the first few years. And then finally, MMB also assumes a three-year cash flow window for trunk highway authorizations. And you can see that on lines 62 through 66. Then moving down to the last page of this summary is the, this is taking a look at the most recent cancellation report that came out 2 weeks ago at the beginning of January. And this shows how much will be canceled on July 1st of previous authorizations by the year that it was authorized. And the actual report is several pages long, and I'll show you a little snippet of what that looks like. But I just took some of the larger amounts so you can get a sense of sort of what it looks like when things are canceled. The first few items are general fund cancellations from local road improvement program and some erosion and sediment and water programming from 2014 and 2015, respectively. These are both a little bit unique in that the erosion appropriation was related to a disaster flooding project, and often those are a little bit tough to estimate beginning so often from those disaster appropriations, a little bit more cancels than other appropriations. And then the top one there, the 2014 local road improvement grants, that was a bit of a unique case in which there were a few named projects. And normally that amount doesn't cancel from the local road program. But you can see that's about 349,000 out of a total of 29 million in authorization. So you can see the total authorizations and how much is then canceling. And then smaller amounts is about 100 and almost 180,000. So the total cancellation from all funds in the most recent cancellation report was about 2.17 million. And then just to give you a sense of what the cancellation report looks like, and it should be in your packets emailed, but this is the cover letter. And then this is an explanation of the project, the agency, the authorizing language, the total appropriation, the amount that's already been expended, the amount that's left over, and then the amount that is under contract but not yet expended. And that does not cancel, that can stay, that can still be used. And then the amount that is uncommitted that is under the cancellation. Another report that is also emailed to you was the bond proceeds, kind of like the status report of all the previous authorizations and where they are, similar to the cancellation report. But unlike the cancellation report, this is much longer. It's about 41 pages, and it shows all the projects that, like going back to the 90s in some cases, but you can kind of see towards the end, in the 2020 bill, everything that's just been authorized, of course, that's all still unexpended at this point for the most part. So that's a quick summary of the bond proceeds and the cancellation reports, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Members, any questions for Mr. Andy Lee? All right, seeing none, thank you, Mr. Lee, and thank you, members, for our work today. And I just wanted to remind you that next Thursday, or this upcoming Thursday, we'll be hearing from MMB, who will be giving an overview of the capital budget application process for state agencies and for local units of government. And I will encourage all of our members and your local units of government to watch this hearing on Thursday so that we could, as much as possible, avoid what we have today with regards to different units of government coming back to the legislature for some corrections in the bill, and for our members on the committee and for members in the legislature to really, you know, follow the process of, you know, the development of your proposal so that we can try to minimize this as much as possible, knowing that because of the pace that we operate here over at the state capitol, this often is unavoidable. And so just want to say thank you all again, and this meeting is adjourned.